Welcome back to Cognac and Conspiracies. I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jade.
All right. And we are back for another week. And we are here like we always are.
So. I'm dead. But really.
Always are. So, but this week I feel like it's going to be a little bit different. I don't know if this is the first time we've done that, but I'm actually going to do one that's active. An active case.
Oh, we've never done that. Okay. I don't think we've ever done that ever yet.
Cool. So it might be maybe shorter because, you know, there's no, it's still going on or whatever. But I thought it would be a good one because people keep sending this. You sent me stuff on it. I'm sure you know what it is.
Guess. Oh, so I was going to ask you that. I didn't start the work on it. But if I think you're doing, if you're doing what I think you're doing, then I was probably also going to do that next week.
What you doing? What you think I'm doing?
No, I'm not going to say it.
Jelani Day.
That's what
yes, we're doing Jelani Day.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Not just you, because people, if you check the DMs,
yeah, I know,
people
I
have sent in, like, the things unfolding about him and the case and things like that. So, you know how I am. Well, the people asking, you shall receive.
I'm okay? Not trying to, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to say what you're probably going to get to. But there was a turn I sent Taylor, and I was kind of like, and now this is right up our alley. Like, something, because I was going to wait to do it till it had gone to court and everything, and I was going to, you know, follow up periodically. Mm-hmm. But then something happened.
We can follow up.
But. Yeah, but there was something that happened that made me be like, oh, let's, like, I was going to do it too. Because I was like, now this is something that's right up Cognac and Conspiracies.
But, okay, it doesn't matter. We'll get there.
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it. We're, I know you're going to get to it, but yeah.
All right, so Jelani Day was a 25-year-old African-American man who has been missing since August 24th, 2021. He grew up in Illinois. He was the fourth of five children, I think, and the youngest of four brothers. And him and his family, him and his mom, siblings were all very close. So they said that he would talk to his mom multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. He would always call her. Same with the siblings. They would always be in contact, which is important for, you know, when he goes missing as to, you know, how they were able to find out so quickly that something was going on with him. So he was really close with his family, not the type of person to necessarily fall off the face of the earth or anything like that. At the time of his disappearance, he was a graduate student. He got his bachelor's at Alabama A&M University and then went on, and his intention was to get a doctorate in speech pathology eventually. So everybody who knows Jelani says that he was really upstanding guy, smart, always going to class, always have good grades, never in trouble. You know, like I said, he's 25 years old at this point. So, you know, that's his character. It's not like he's a, you know, 17-year-old. That's his character. Always been great, always been about his business, and just a real good, upstanding citizen. So, on August 24th, 2021, an employee which at his university, which was basically his professor, there's conflicting things about this. So I've heard some reports to say that his professor reported him missing, and then I've heard other reports to say that his mother reported him missing.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
So
I've been kind of following as well, but I know that everyone kind of says that. I think we were about to say it's like a notable point. Again, listen, I don't know who says it, but I've definitely heard the professor is one of the last people, not to see him, but I guess is one of the touch points.
To notice.
Of, yeah, that he's gone missing.
Yeah. So at about 9 o'clock in the morning on that day, Jelani is seen walking into on security cameras because, you know, everything got a camera nowadays. Mm-hmm. So he's seen walking in, and he has on like a dress clothes, you know, almost like he has an appointment, you know, for his graduate program. He has on black slacks, belt, like a blue button-down shirt, looking very snazzy, you know, looking like he got someplace to be, right?
Yeah.
And then the professor says that they were supposed to have a meeting that day about, I don't know, graduate shit, you know, whatever. So, so he, I'm sure what I'm putting two and two together is that he dressed up for that. But the thing is that the professor says that he never showed up for the appointment, which she also said was very unlike him. Like, that wasn't his character. If he, like I said, he's about his business. If he had an appointment, he'd usually be there. Mm-hmm. If class, he's going to be there, right? So she kind of was like, oh, okay, like, that was weird. But apparently he had class, like the actual class outside of the appointment later on that day. Mm-hmm. So she said, okay, well, I'll see him at class later on in the day, and I'll talk to him about it and kind of say, you know, what happened, that type of thing. Well, later on in the day, the class comes and goes, and he's not in the class either. So that is, like you said, the touch point where the professor starts to think,
"This is
that's weird. Yeah, this kind of weird. Yeah. You know, this is unlike him. He's a good student. He does not miss classes. And if he was going to miss something, he would usually reach out and text. And I think that there were some reports to say the professor texted him and said, like, hey, Jelani, like, what's up? Like, did something happen? I noticed you've been kind of absent today. Like, what's going on? Because, you know.
That's not like you.
Yeah, that's not like you. And got no response. So, at that point, that's when the professor went to report that I think something might be going on with my student because he's acting really out of character. I haven't seen him. Yeah. Mm. Which, I feel like that's very nice for a professor to do. I don't know. Like, I guess maybe because I never went to grad school, but I'm like, I don't know if none of my professors would have done that for me.
Yeah, I'm not the only one. Well, I also didn't really go to class. So it wouldn't have been out of, like, some of them probably never knew my face, never know to this day, like, couldn't pick me out of a crowd. But besides that, I feel like grad school, I feel like there's a different relationship. Like, I feel like you have, like, I don't know, like, you're someone's grad student, you check in and things like that. So I feel like the classes are smaller. Normally it's like a cohort. Mm-hmm. So they all, you know, kind of move through the grad program together. So you would notice if, like, a good student and someone who's always, you would notice. Mm-hmm. Especially if they were, like, your graduate student, like, they were reporting to you. I feel like, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, like, I don't want to equate it to, like, a fifth grader going missing, but it's kind of like the same way a homeroom teacher would know all 28 of her fifth graders, the same way that the professor probably knew all 42 of that graduate cohort, like, probably did know him, like, pretty well. And like I said, at this point, you're adults. Like, when I was in college, I was, like, a 20-year-old, 19-year-old, not taking too seriously. At this point, if you're getting a graduate degree, you're taking it pretty seriously, you're invested in your education. Like, you know, you probably do have a pretty good relationship with most of them. Or I would hope you would, you know.
Yeah, I would think so, too. Because, like I said, I never gone to graduate school, but I've had friends who gone to graduate school, and it does seem like they have a closer type of relationship with their professor than undergrad. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
She was concerned for him and reached out and kind of put that on the map. Mm. Meanwhile, back at the home front, as far as his mom and his family, like I mentioned before, him and his mom, he said, would talk multiple times a day. So this is like a mama's boy, right? Mm-hmm. So he's always calling his mom, wanting to talk to his mom, things like that. Sound like me, right? So his mom, and the people would be like, multiple times a day? I said, don't judge us. Come on now. I talk to mama multiple times a day. So with that being said, if I just whoosh off the face of the earth, very out of character, right? Mm-hmm. So she said at first she almost didn't realize because I guess at that time she was packing to go on vacation and I think it was a Sunday going into a Monday. So she didn't talk to him that day, but also she was trying to plan her like vacation and pack her bags and stuff. So she was a little bit sidetracked, but then she realized like, hey, I haven't talked to Jelani. That's weird. Didn't think anything of it. Maybe he's busy like how I got busy. But then she said she called his siblings and even his siblings also said that they also had not heard from Jelani. And so that's when the mom said she called the police and filed a missing persons report after, you know, trying multiple times to get in contact with him, calling his siblings for them to get in contact with him. After nobody could get in contact with him, she then filed a missing persons report. So he's been a missing person since August 24th of 2021.
Do we know, like, how far he was from his family? Like,
being about an hour and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he would come back and forth. He went to, Illinois State University. And that was about an hour and some change from his hometown.
Okay.
So he would go kind of, you know, go back and forth and, you know, visit people. So he wasn't that far.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, you know, he's declared a missing person August 24th, 2021, and that's kind of where we leave it for 2 days. So on August 26th, 2 days after he's reported as a missing person, his abandoned car, which was a white 2010 Chrysler 300, was found in Peru, Illinois, which is about 60 miles away from where he would have lived, which was in Bloomingdale and LaSalle County, Illinois.
Okay.
So about 60 miles, which is Probably about an hour and some change to drive 60 mm-hmm. miles, if I'm just off the top of my head. So that's not, it's not close by. So it's just kind of like, yeah, yeah, why was this car interesting. Out there? So they find his car, right? And no sign of him. But what they do find in his car is, I guess, let me backtrack, right? So when I said he was on camera at like 8 o'clock in the morning in the, I guess, the on college campus, because he was on the campus, which makes it even weirder, because it's like, why was he not, why did he not go to the meeting if he was on the campus? We have footage of him on the campus. So it's not like he never came to campus. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he, his intention was to go and then something happened. Yeah. Yeah. So we have footage of him on the campus dressed up doing this. And then also at about 9:10, there's footage of him at a dispensary. Marijuana dispensary. Okay. And then at that point he had on different clothes. So almost like he had dressed down. He had on like a band t-shirt. That's and a hat and like just, you know, just street clothes, just jeans and a t-shirt and a hat. It was very different from his dressed up clothes that he had on that morning. But it was the same. It was within like 3 hours of each other.
Does anybody know what he had to do that morning where he'd be dressed up, missed the meeting and dressed down? It's kind of like that's, and then to go, I don't know what the laws are. What is like in Illinois? I don't know what the law, like the
marijuana is not legal. So he must have a card or something. Card? Yeah. Like a medical marijuana card.
Dude, I mean, I don't know if you would know this, but is there a record of him actually having a card, or did he know somebody who might, you know, every once in a while, just let him, you know, he might have a buddy who works the shop and just kind of hands off like weed to him. Like, do we know for, I mean, like, I don't expect you to know this, but I'm just curious, like, cause I'm like, it just seems like, because if I could buy, like, weed legally, I don't think I would ever, because, like, here in Maryland, you can have a card, or, like, if you go to D.C., you actually can just show up and be 21.
Yeah, it's legal.
And
yeah.
I think it's, like, what is it, a donation? It's there's some type of weird stipulation surrounding it. Mm-hmm. But either way, like, I wouldn't miss class to go buy weed, because it's going to be open. Like, the dispensary's open from whatever to whatever, so I can just show up. Like, I don't really have to. There's nothing really to rush about or miss a class for to go there.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, like, why would he, I don't know, like, see, like, he turned around, changed, and then went to the dispensary. It just seems kind of like, I don't know, that's weird.
It was weird. Yeah, yeah. I didn't get it. Because even if you're going to the dispensary, why change clothes?
Yeah, it's like, why?
Maybe because he was more comfortable? I don't know.
I don't, but there, so I feel like either way something transpires. I'm like, right, if you, like, why would I, if I get off work, I'm not going to change clothes, go to the dispensary. If they see me in my Monday best, I'm just going to be in a button-up in the dispensary. It's just going to be what's going to be.
Like, yeah. So, I don't know. So, yeah, he had on, like, a baseball cap. They said it was, like, Detroit Lions hat mm-hmm. and, like, a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt. Okay. Just street clothes. Yeah. Jeans, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, he goes into the dispensary, gets whatever he needs to get. I couldn't find any recollection or any confirmation as whatever he bought with. Doesn't really matter, who cares. So, and that was the last time that Jelani was ever seen alive. So that surveillance footage of him in the dispensary is the last footage that anybody has of him alive to this day.
Okay.
And so at this point, his mom and family is obviously pushing hard to say, like, you know, if you've heard anything, please reach out. Somebody, he's at this point, he's a missing person. Mm-hmm. Like, they have no idea where he's gone, no idea where he's going. And this case kind of picked up a lot because of Good Sis, Gabby Petito.
So I was going to like try to not talk about, I think you have to talk about it.
You have to talk about it because it's what,
the case. Yeah, because the only thing that brought the case to light was the Gabby Petito thing. But mm-hmm. I think, I don't know who finally was the person who gave his mother a chance to get, mm-hmm. you know, the prime airtime alongside the Gabby Petito case. But as that case, like, kind of hit a stall, when they hadn't found the body, Brian, whatever, Laundry, had gone missing. It kind of was like a little bit of a lull for like a week. And that is when I too, never even heard about this until that case kind of hit a lull, and then his mother started getting the airtime, and everybody kind of as well like picked up this case.
Mm. Yeah, I agree, because it was kind of a thing where, what they called it, missing white woman syndrome, where she was missing mm-hmm. and, you know, everybody, if somebody's missing or they've been murdered, they deserve coverage. But it was just kind of a people talking about the stark contrast between
absolutely
her case and other people's cases, whether it be men of color, women of color, whatever. Like, if you're not a white woman, you're not getting the same type of coverage as somebody else is getting if you're, you know, a person of color. So, and then even the family said, and I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, but I was like, well, I'll do it, because even his mom said that he was like, she was like, oh, if you have any type of platform, which, you know, we don't have a big one, but we have one.
We do.
You know, so I was like, okay, well, if she wants people to talk about it and speak about it to get, you know, people talking, then cool, let's talk about it, that type of thing. So at that point, Jelani was missing. And then eventually on September 4th, they did find a body in the south bank of the Illinois River. And that eventually ended up being identified as Jelani Day's body. So,
I just want to talk about that for a second.
Go ahead.
So, that shit honestly pissed me off. Mm-hmm. Because I swear to God, his mother got on TV, and I think I found out about the case, and, like, I don't, like, someone run the timeline back, but I swear to God, like, in 48 hours, they found this man's body, and he had been missing since August, and the minute it got on television, they found his body. It felt like almost instantaneously, his mother got on the news, it got news coverage, and they found the body. Mm-hmm. Basically, I mean, I don't know the gist of it, you're gonna go over it, but I was like, that's how I was gonna do it, because I was like, kind of like, what the hell? Because it felt like if they had put the same energy towards it in August, you know, maybe he wouldn't have been found, you know, alive to this day, but maybe there would be more information than we had, because bodies decompose, like, things happen, people can revisit the crime scene, like, a lot of things can happen if you just let it hang out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's not a lot to go over, because the thing is, like you said, like I said, it's a pending case. Mm-hmm. The autopsy is, like, kind of not... Did you... Sidebar. Did you see they got... Gabby Petito, not that this is her episode, cause of death.
I was trying to talk about but
strangulation.
Yeah, they saw
it. Baby!
And what's his name is still gone.
He's still missing!
And that was okay. So there's been like two cases of like non-black people lately that have really made me be like, you know, maybe I'll just do a little bit of a, what's it called? Like, what is it? Like Tito's a conspiracy. Where we talk about like non-black cases, because there are two cases that really
that really made me crazy.
Yeah, so like I said, all there is always missing white woman syndrome, because I've never seen a hour by hour update of any person of color, male, even white men. There's never a hour by hour of a missing white man. It really is missing white women and missing white children, where you get the hour by hour update of all this stuff. It really only happens for white women any age. It really only happens, well, really only young white women and children. I've never seen a 45-year-old white woman go missing. It's a very select group of people the news care about.
Young, but attractive, pretty, you know, or whatever. Like, and then the thing is, it'll go on for years. JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh yeah, it goes.
I'm
on.
Still looking. That's I'm not, still need. Look, I'm feeding into the JonBenet Ramsey thing because I need answers.
That's
bitch,
what I'm saying.
Okay,
I
know who did it.
I hate to be that. I know you do. I'm just white people I really want to talk about. But besides that, but like the whole Gabby Petito thing, we're only gonna talk over a little bit. I'm dying to talk about it. But the thing is, like, they got me. They really did, because I am kind of hooked, because they really can't find.
This man.
Body. They can't find him. The body's found. She was strangled. It's like the parents, like, clearly, like, helped him go somewhere. Maybe he's in Russia, Mexico, wherever the hell he is. He's some Haiti, Cuba. He's somewhere. Like, he literally has flown off to somewhere, because his parents have been gardening. They've been doing, like, because even if, like, I'm not saying, even my son was the worst person on earth, I feel like you still would try to find them, because you still owe the other family justice.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't just be settled in the fact that my son went into the woods of Florida and we never found him again. I feel like that is just, I'd be like, son, I'll support you through your trial. You know, whatever happens, I wouldn't, like, you know, defend him. But I would be like, I'll go to your court cases and I'll help you through the consequences of your actions. You know, I'll help you through whatever you've done. But at the same time, like,
you need something.
I would want to know. Yeah, right? Yeah. I feel like, you know, even if you do get life in prison, I'll visit you. I'll help you come to terms with what you've done. But, like, what? Like, they just seem so...
They don't care.
Okay. They're very okay.
And like, you know, she lived with them. Yeah, and that's the crazy part.
The whole family.
So you don't have no feelings towards this woman?
Yeah. And the more you hear about the parents, it doesn't shock me about his behavior. Because the parents seem just as, like, what's the word? Like, I don't
sociopathic.
Say sociopathic. But they seem just the same as him.
Cold.
Because for a girl they knew, a girl who was, for a while, their son's fiance, they seemed, all of them seemed to not give a shit about this young woman. They all It's very, very weird. Yeah. It's just, but yeah, I sell this to say.
It's bizarre. Like, it's super bizarre. Because, like you said, even this shit, it sweeped the nation. Okay. Even my mama, she don't even like you. I told me, you heard that? Gabby put, you know, what's going on with this? And a boy missing? And it's not, I said, yes, I heard about it. You know, and she's like, yeah, because the thing is, as close as me and my mama are, if I was to be looking funny in the light and my girlfriend is missing, I'm getting turned in. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not giving me no plane ticket to Cuba. She's going to be like, bro, like you said, I don't know what you did, but it's fishy, and I know you did something. So if you're not going to tell me, because they were like hiding him. She's like, please remove yourself from my home. Like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with you. This girl is missing, and you're looking weird and fishy. And if you're not going to tell me what you did, or you're going to try to run from the law, then that's your business, I guess, as an adult. But what we're not about to do is hide you in my house.
I'm not going to do it. They gave them, like, I feel like, I don't know if they have, like, the warrant check to search his parents. Like, I feel like they gave him, like, you know, like, runaway money.
I'm sure.
And he went in the woods, and I feel like they had someone arrange to, like, pick him up. He's on a private flight and flew away to some area that can't
prosecute. I think he's in Cuba.
No, I'm saying he's gone. Brian's been gone. I feel like the whole, like, Doug the Bounty Hunter came out and was, like, snooping through Florida. The man, it's 2021. It's not 1923. Mm-hmm. The man's been gone. Flights are readily available. Boats are readily available. He left. They're in Florida. It's a peninsula. It's very easy to hit the water and go somewhere.
But, and he had 2 weeks head start.
Right.
So... But yeah. This isn't their episode.
It's not.
So. But that shit just so crazy. When she was talking to you, you'd be like, and then, what the fuck?
And that's the problem. And that really is the problem.
Yeah. So with that case, if y'all don't know about it, look up just other stuff. Just Google it. It's a ton of stuff. It's very much in the news and in the media. But also say that Jelani Day's case came to the forefront because people were talking about that case and saying, like, hey, I know that this girl deserves justice, and yes, this is something crazy going on, but also, let's talk about the other stuff that's crazy that's going on over here that's involving black men, men of color, women of color, and things like that. So this is one of the cases that came to the forefront as a result kind of the Gabby Petito case. So on September 4th, like you said, it was kind of weird, and I don't know if this was a coincidence, but like you said, it was almost like as soon as they got the public attention, then they found the body.
Exactly.
And also, I feel like I forgot to remember this, forgot to mention this, but when they found the body, or not the body, when they found the car, they found his clothes, like his, not his dress up clothes, but his street clothes, like the hat and the t-shirt and stuff
in the car.
Yes.
They found the body naked? I didn't know that.
They did find the body almost naked, but what I'm saying is when they found the car, he wasn't in the car. But what was in the car was those clothes that he was seen in on the surveillance footage. So I'm like, why does he keep changing clothes? Like, what is that?
Because I'm like,
so weird.
When we get done with it, like, I have some thoughts about maybe what had happened. But like you said, it's just, there's so many peculiar touch points in it where I'm like,
why are we changing clothes like 3 times in a day?
Yeah, it all doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So they found those clothes and stuff like that in the car. And then they also found clothes about a mile away from where they found the body. And then they did ask Jelani Day's mom to try to identify the clothes and say, hey, are these your son's clothes? And she did say that she did not think that they were her son's clothes. But,
who knows?
You know, who knows? Could have been, could have not. But she did say that from looking at the clothes, she did not think.
Was it his sizes, or she just was like...
I think that they were maybe similar sizes, like close, but I think it was just a combination of like sizes and just like, I don't know that he would wear that, or I never seen him wear that, you know, that type of thing. So she wasn't sure, but also this is a grown man. He's 25, so he could have very well had clothes that she did not know that he had. So that's up in the air about whether or not the clothes that they found a mile from his body site were his clothes or were not his clothes. Mm-hmm. But when they found the body, they did say that it was he was partially unclothed. Like, he didn't have a lot of clothes on when they found the body. There wasn't a lot of detail about that because I feel like it could be disrespectful. Uh-huh. You know, but they did say that he didn't have all his clothes on when they found the body. And then we'll get into the there was a lot of stuff going around on social media about the organs, right? And I was like, that's why I was like, let me go ahead and do this, because needs to be making up rumors, bro, right? So they found the body, okay? They're doing an autopsy. We don't know the cause of death yet. Cool. On social media, it was like a firestorm. They're saying, like, this man's organs are missing. Yeah. His eyes are missing. Mm-hmm. His, just everything. I almost made a joke. His eyes were... It's not funny. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. But, so, yeah, they were saying that, like, his... all his organs and stuff like that were missing. And but the thing with that is his mom actually came out. I don't know if you saw that came out that, yeah. And was like that is not true. Mm. So basically what happened was it's not like organ harvesting, which I feel like was the spin that social media was giving it. Like, oh, his organs are missing. Someone stole his organs, blah, 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 blah. It's not that. It's that this man's body been in the river for like weeks.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, his eyeballs were missing. I'm like, well,
the current.
Yeah. Because he's this. Decomposing body has been in the river for weeks on time. Yeah, it's that is, and basically what the coroner said and the people who identify bodies, autopsists, whatever the fuck you call them niggas, said that is pretty consistent with a body that's been in water for that extended period of time. Like, it decomposes, and unfortunately the first things to go are like organs and things like that. They decompose quickly. Eyeballs decompose quicker than like bones. You know, so it's not that someone plucked his eyeballs out and sold them on the black market. Mm. It's just that the body has been in the water for a long time. And that's why it's looking the way it's looking, basically. Mm-hmm. But why you make that face? You said, ooh. Yeah, I don't. Ugh, same. But also, his mom did say, with all that being said, his mom did say that it took her almost a month to be able to view the body. Like, they were, like, basically holding her from the body and, like, not letting her see him.
That is another case weird. But there's another case we did that was like that. And the family had said that they had never seen the body.
Maybe it was protocol.
I don't know what it is. But I think other, like, I think, go through the file. But then there was another case where the family said they, too, had to really try to get access to the body. It shouldn't be like that. But I think that's, like, not uncommon. I don't know if it's like a black thing, but I feel like it's not uncommon people would have to really fight for the access to like their to see, which is like disgusting. But
I mean, the thing with that, I mean, I guess you want to see it.
You have a right to see it.
Yeah, you want to see it. Yeah, you have a right to see it, and you want to see it to confirm, right? Because if someone just says, you know, that's your son, and you know, you never see the body, there might be a part of you that's like, are you sure? You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. Are you sure that that's my son? Like, let me look type of shit. As much as it's going to hurt you, or as much as that's going to be traumatic for you, you still want to look just so you can be sure that that's really your
love. I don't know if they would do it for me, but I would just ask them to cover, like, for I would just be like, you know, I don't want the image burning in my head of my son without his eyeballs. But I'd be like, just from the top, like, head up. You know, just so you can recognize, I don't need to see that his kidneys, whatever, is gone. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, see the profile and be able to see. Because, like I said, I don't know. I think I would want to see the body. Like, I wouldn't have no open casket funeral, but I would want to see the body. Like,
niggas love an open casket funeral.
Man.
But I saw some report that said that, like I said, there's a lot of stuff floating around. This is why I'm like, sometimes I like to do the open cases, sometimes I don't. But there was a report circulating that most of his family still hasn't seen it, which makes sense because if you had to fight for a month to see it and then they finally did, you know, put him to rest, then, you know.
So, again, we don't know for a fact, but if he, again, maybe one singular organ was harvested, maybe they can tell one was, or maybe he was killed in a very particular way with a very specific gun. Maybe they don't want a lot of people to see it and release that type of evidence and it be a dead giveaway.
That's true. I said that.
Because sometimes they withhold certain pieces of evidence because they don't want... They want to be able to sniff out who really knows something. So they'd be like, well, what do you know about... And someone will say, well, there was a red phone case. And they'll be like, bingo, like, that's the thing. There was a very specific phone case or whatever. So maybe there's a very specific wound on him. Maybe some type of, I don't know, like a gang marking. But maybe someone really marked him up particularly unique where if someone came to the police and said, oh, there's a W like carved in his chest or something like that, that they don't want to have the public just have a field day with that. They're really waiting for someone to come forward with that specific piece of information. I don't know if that is it, but sometimes, and I'm not saying it's all good, but sometimes in police or whoever withhold stuff like that, it's because there might be evidence literally like on his body.
Yeah, it probably is a thing where it's like, we're not going to be showing any and everybody this young man's body because it's disrespectful, honestly. Can be seen as, you know, disrespectful. And then also, it could hinder the investigation. And then also, sometimes people think they want to see stuff, but they don't want to see it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But what? I don't think that's not their call to make, though. So if their family wants to see it, then let them see it.
Yeah, I don't know what the protocol is regarding, like, showing the body. But I don't think his mother wants... Because who knows? He might have a really close extended family, like an aunt who was, like, a mother. And there may be, like, 10 people they want to see. Because he might have been close to a lot of people.
Yeah. They seem like a close-knit family.
It takes a village, right? Mm-hmm. So there may have been a lot of people looking for that closure. I don't know what the... You know what I mean? I don't know what the protocol is. Because I do remember my grandfather died. It felt like they let everybody see that body. I'm not going to lie.
But he died in his sleep. Was it traumatic?
It wasn't traumatic. No, he was just an old person. Yeah, he died. But a lot of people, like, before his body... Black people, bro. But before, you know, the funeral, whatever, a lot of people, like, saw the body. So, like, I'm... like, because basically he was, like, dying. So he was in hospice. And, like, family came down. And, you know, like, hospice... You're gonna die pretty soon. So he had died when people were still in town. And when he had died, all of a sudden my mom wanted like moral support. So like her aunt and people went with her. And it was like a group like who saw the body. It might be different like investigations, but it seemed like it was like whoever wants to see it could see it.
Yeah, probably. And like you said, I feel like it's probably different because they know what happened. He was senior. He passed away of not natural causes, but you know. He was old, so there's that. But yeah, I think it is a choice. I think it's very different when there is foul play involved.
Oh yeah,
because I had a friend whose sister passed away, and she like they would allow her to see it, but she didn't want to. She chose not to look. So she was like, "No, I don't. I'm good. I don't want to look at it." So I think when you know what happened, because that was like a car accident situation. So
I wouldn't want to see it.
So she's like, no, I don't want to remember her that way. Exactly. I want to remember her how I have her in my head. I don't want to see what type of damage or, you know, whatever has been done. So I think when you know for a fact that there's no foul play, they probably will open it up and say, like, you know, if you want to come look, come look. But if there's foul play, like you said, could be things going on with the investigation that they're trying to cover up or trying to keep hush-hush. Especially with such a high-profile case like this, it's like, nah. Because and niggas are sick, okay?
That's what I'm saying.
People will call in and get false tips. They'll joke and say, oh, I did it or I did so that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to keep some things under wraps so that you know who's playing and who's
not playing. That's the thing. Because the body's decomposed some. So what's left on it? They may be working with very small evidence that they found clothes. Maybe they found other things in the water. Maybe something was on his foot when they, like, you know, you never know what they found. And because it's been so long now, like I said, if they were like, oh, he has a specific cut, people would call him, like, I did the cut. People are weird like that.
I cut them.
I've heard, like, missing children stories, and people will write letters and mail them to the family. Like, people will write letters, as the child.
Niggas
like,
are sick.
No, people are weird as fuck. Mm-hmm. People are really weird like that. They'll call the home saying they have the kids, they are the kid, like, 20 years later. I don't know what people get off on that, but people love, like, it's not uncommon. People be giving out false tips. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like,
they're weird. So, there's that. The parents are still, his mom and siblings and everything, everybody's still fighting for justice. There's actually a $25,000 reward out right now, which was what they were able to come up with as far as, like, donations and things from the family, GoFundMes and things like that. I'll put the GoFundMe in the link. But there's a $25,000 reward that leads, even though at this point we know that he's deceased, there's a $25,000 reward that will lead to any information on what actually happened to Jelani. Like, it's like, okay, we know that, and at least in my opinion, I feel like there's pretty safe to say that there was some foul play involved.
Absolutely.
He didn't put, because at first the coroner or whoever the fuck was, the media, whoever tried to spin it, almost like, well, maybe he just committed suicide. And it's like, I don't think so. And that's what his friends and family said, and yes, I know that there's not like a face of like someone who would commit suicide, but this man was in grad school. He was happy. He was healthy. He was, you know, accomplishing his goals. Mm-hmm. There's no reason. There's nothing there that would make you think that he would commit suicide. So for people to just pull that out their ass is like, probably not. Probably something happened to him, some foul play. There's nothing, to me, there's nothing in this equation that would make me think he committed suicide.
I don't think so either.
Like where did you get that from?
And then it's like I start thinking through, well, the only thing that makes me think he would commit suicide is the, and again, I don't know this, like, so the only like sliver of a thought is like the amount of pressure he's under, because I mean, I don't know him like that. I don't know his family. Like, I don't know anything about this for real.
They're religious.
But yeah, but a part of me feels like, so he's a young black man who's done well. Mm. He's working towards a PhD. It seems like I've seen the car he had. It seems like, I think he was in like a fraternity, like a very, you know, like most.
He was. Wasn't he a Kappa or
I
something?
Think so. Yeah, but if you are, like, I mean, if you're black, you know, there's only like 9 real, like, you know, like, there's only like 9 fraternities that black people or African Americans really recognize, and it is extremely difficult to get into them. So that in itself is accomplishment. So it seemed like he was a very established young man.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe he did feel like a, I don't know, like that's the only reason I could ever think he could, it didn't seem like it, but the only reason I could ever think is he just had a lot of like
pressure
to succeed. I feel like sometimes as a successful black person, you do have this like kind of like brick on your back that you have to become something. But I it didn't really seem like he was like suffering from that particularly. So I don't see it, but again, I don't know him, but it seems, and again, I don't really know. I mean, everyone's suicide attempt or the thoughts they're going through are different, but the idea that he would show up to campus and fighting it so hard that he turned around and was like, nah, this is it. You know what I mean? Because it seemed like he was ready he'd already accepted he was going to be on campus for the day. But like, I'm like, what would have been going on that something was like, nope, like I rethought it, turning around, like.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, a lot of times people will commit suicide and maybe people will not know prior and not realize, but then it'll kind of be like a hindsight 2020 type of situation where they're like, oh, they didn't do this or they didn't do that. But like you said, he got up, he got himself together, he put on his dress clothes. He, you know what I'm saying? If somebody's going to commit suicide, I don't think that they're going to be doing that. Like, why even come to campus?
Because it seemed like he prepared to be, not, it sounds bad, but I feel like he prepared to be alive that day. Yeah. A lot of times when people are like planning a suicide,
yeah,
just won't. When you backtrack, you could tell the minute that they are like 2 days out or 15 minutes, 24 hours, where they're like, they didn't feed the cat, they didn't make dinner, they didn't show up here. Like, they basically started accepting they weren't going to be here the next day. So they kind of like dropped off everything. So they're like, it doesn't matter anymore because I'm about to kill myself. So,
I mean, that's true. Like I'll say, I don't think he killed himself, but also in the same instance of that, there are stories of people doing things that you wouldn't think they would do if they were going to commit suicide. Like, mm-hmm. people have said, like, yeah, like, my dad committed suicide, and he, like, before he did it, he, like, did all the laundry and, like, made a meal and left it in the fridge and then killed himself. It's not funny.
No,
but it's like a thing where it's like, maybe he's like, oh, well, I'm gonna be dead, but at least they won't have to make dinner. And it's like, nigga, you think niggas gonna be wanting to eat spaghetti after they find you dead? Like,
no, but when you're but when you're really going through shit, it's kind of weird. Like, let me help. No, but like doing the lawn. No, I'm serious. Like, when you're kind of going through shit, it kind of makes sense. That, like, I don't know what to say. I feel like I don't know how everyone's like thoughts work, but I kind of get that you'd be like, well, I'm not gonna. You know what I mean? Like,
they want to alleviate it.
I don't know how to explain it, but that doing the laundry, it kind of makes sense. But
you made some spaghetti and left it for them.
As
if they're going to want to eat spaghetti once.
But
they
don't have to worry about.
They're not going to be hungry, bro.
But you're not thinking like that. I feel like it's just. I mean, like I said, I don't know what everyone's thing is, but it seemed like that he had prepared for the day to be alive all day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, I don't know. Again, we don't know. Like, you know, like what's that show like? 13 Reasons Why. It's like a horrible, you know, like,
oh, that was a crazy show.
A horrible, what is it, personification of that? But at the same time,
it's bad. Is it problematic?
Oh, for 13 Reasons Why.
Why the drama?
I mean, it's entertaining, but it's, I don't think it's great. I don't think it's great because it's kind of like, for example, it's like if he came on campus and somebody bullied him and then he basically was like, that's it. And like, that's kind of like how 13 Reasons Why is. It's like people joke and be like, oh, this is my 13th reason. Like, I'm not saying it, but
I think the show's probably, I mean, I enjoyed the show. I didn't watch it past season one. I watched season one and the suicide scene was, I'm not gonna lie, pretty disturbing to me.
Yeah.
And so after the bathtub scene with the blood and all the stuff, you know, and I feel like it was a kind of an argument where it was like, okay, they needed to show it because like kids will say, yeah, to make it real. Like that's really what it looks like. Mm-hmm. Like it's horrific. So, but I'm not gonna lie, that disturbed me. And after that season, I kind of was like, I don't need to watch any more of this. But yeah, that was, I don't think that man committed suicide. I don't think he committed suicide at all. I think somebody killed him. I think he was murdered.
I think he was murdered too, yeah. But I think,
like, but I don't know why.
But I guess that's
why it's like he seems such like so straight edge. So, yeah, like,
all of it's very hard for me. Because, like I said, I feel like the idea of him turning around off campus to kill himself is like possible, but the probability to me is like low. But the idea of you show up to campus ready and you get a text, right? Mm. And whatever you're dealing with on the other side of your life, or maybe some other family member got you twisted up in some shit, but you get a text that's kind of urgent, that makes sense for someone to be like, all right, shit, like, I need to turn around and, you know, figure this shit out. Like, missing one day of class and solving this shit, like, to me, that makes more sense that he got a text, a call, a something, and he was like, yeah, like, I have to handle this right now. Like, I don't have any other options. Like, I gotta go deal with this shit. And I feel like whatever got him to turn off of campus is the same thing that ended up to his death. Like, that's how I feel.
And changed his clothes, too.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, say, yeah. Whatever type of, like I said, even the fact that he went to the Spencer, I feel like those are all things that I feel like he planned on being alive. Because I feel like he went to the Spencer, he probably got something. He was like, when all this shit is done, I'm gonna go home,
smoke me
I'm
some
gonna smoke my, and I'm gonna mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like he really did plan to be alive. I feel like something pulled him off campus. He was like, I'm not going to class today, put on my day clothes, I'm gonna handle it. And then whatever it was, it ended up in something.
It went left.
Yeah
I don't know either.
I was like,
well, let's give y'all the facts. You know, he went to class, or he went on campus, left campus. We see him here, we see him there, and those are the facts. As far as the organ harvesting thing, that's not a thing. Y'all just stop saying it. You know, it's just when a body's in the water for an extended period of time, then stuff is going to decompose. That's all that is. And even his mother came out and was like, okay, mm-hmm. like, I'm happy that people are talking about my son, talking about the case, but that's not what's going on here. So let's stick to the facts. And let's try to figure out what actually happened, because that's not really what's going on. So, I don't know. Like you said, I agree. I feel like whatever it was that got him to miss that meeting and to miss that class. But the thing is, it's like, where's the phone? And that might be another thing that they're holding on to. Mm-hmm. Because I haven't heard anything about the phone.
But that's
as far as what's in the yeah. texts, what's in the call logs. You know, that's very telling. So... Yeah. I haven't heard the police say anything, and that might be a reason, like, they might be holding on to that to say, we've seen something in this phone, something in these texts in this call log that we want to keep to ourselves, that we know whoever knows it, that they probably have something.
That's what I think it is. I feel like it's like, so I haven't heard, like, anybody say the case is, obviously they want information, but I haven't heard any of the things, like, usually you're like, oh, the case is dead, or we don't have any leads. And normally when the case gets dead is when they release information. So hopefully, like, not hopefully, because it's kind of like sad, but I feel like probably more information will be released, and then we'll probably do like a follow-up on it. But I do think they, like you said, I feel like they're holding on to stuff because
it's very active.
Yeah, because there's like similar things that, like, they have camera footage of him coming in the dispensary. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of looking it up, and I couldn't find any images of him coming out the dispensary. So maybe there's something in that. Maybe he was on the phone, maybe there's somebody with him. But it seems like, why would you have footage of him coming in but there's no footage of him leaving? So it's kind of like, where is that footage? Mm-hmm. Like, things of that nature.
There's,
like,
a lot of holes.
Yeah, so I feel like it's just pieces they're holding on to. I do, like, fingers crossed they have some leads. But it all is very, very peculiar, because I'm kind of like, I don't know, like, as fun as it is to imagine that somebody randomly got killed by some random stranger, it's like, I don't feel like I don't know if that's like a thing. Like, I the more true crime we do, like, unfortunately, you normally do kind of sort of like know your maker. They might not be a close friend, but they might be a friend of a friend of a friend. And that's what I feel like might happen to him. Like, it might be, I don't know, somebody who's jealous. Maybe he has a cousin, a brother, somebody who's into the wrong shit. He's trying to help them. Like, I don't know. It just seems really, really weird. Like, it seems like he was trying to do the right thing with his life. And it just, like, somebody knows something.
Somebody does know something. Yeah, I don't think it's a perfect stranger. It's, we'll see. It's going to come out. Because the thing is, this is sloppy. So, I would be shocked if they did not find out who was responsible for this. Mm-hmm. If they don't, that's a lucky MF, okay? They're lucky as hell. Because this just seems really sloppy. Like, so, hopefully they got some leads and some things that will happen. But, like I said, that's all I have. The case is still ongoing. Y'all kept sending it. So, like I said, ask and you shall receive, okay? So, I was like, let me go ahead and do it, okay? But that's all we have. And try to stick strictly to the facts of, you know, what happened and what his family said happened. Hopefully, they will find out who's responsible for this, because I 100% think that somebody or some people's, maybe plural, are responsible for this. It's not, there's definitely foul play involved. Absolutely. In my opinion. So hopefully they figure out what happened to this man and, you know, who's responsible, and hopefully this will kind of spark more cases with people of color coming to the forefront, that people will pay more attention. Because even the mom, and it was so sad, because the mom kind of like doing a bunch of interviews and stuff like that. She's like, you know, like I said, they're close. I love my son. And she kind of was like, it's really frustrating because I feel like he is a good person. He's a good young man. Yeah. He's got a college degree. He wants to be a doctor. He's an upstanding citizen. And still, I can't find anybody who I feel like cares to put in an effort to find my son. Like, I feel like everybody's just blowing me off. And here you got this other girl over here, which, yeah, you know, her case is sad too, but give my son the same energy. Like, why are y'all not giving my son the same energy that you give certain people? So I felt really bad for his mom, because I could tell they were really close, and she was really upset by it, because she just kind of felt like she's screaming into the abyss. She's screaming into a void, and nobody's hearing her, and nobody cares, type of shit. So hopefully they solve that problem and they can find out what happened to this man. But I'll call it right here, right now. Why do I feel like it has something to do with a family member?
So that's what I was saying. Like,
I'm not... it here, and I might be wrong, but I'm calling it right now. And if we do a follow up, I'm gonna replay the tape. Shit.
Now we're doing a follow up. Yeah. But like, maybe we can like do a commentary episode. We've never done that, where you comment on the old things we said. But but I'm gonna say it too, because it seems like he was really, because I'm like, the idea that, I don't know, like, I feel like all of us have watched too much Power, because, like, to me, the idea that he was running some type of second life where he was, like, half Jelani, half Ghost, it doesn't really make any sense. But that's what I'm saying. But the idea that I feel like somebody really dragged him into something, or he was trying to help somebody get out of something, and he somehow got raveled in it. Like, I feel like maybe he's trying to help somebody pay off their debts or help something, and they realize, oh, Jelani's the guy he's pulling, I don't know, some Brian's debt. Now let's go directly to him, or something happened. But it just seems like he was really committed to the PhD in speech pathology, and that was his plan for his life. So why would he fuck around and dilly-dally with, like, drugs or gangs or something? It just doesn't make any sense.
He wasn't that guy.
I think that somebody really had dragged him into it. Like I said, who knows? But I do think that there is a best friend, a family member. I think somebody has dragged him through it.
Somebody, and somebody knows.
And they, close to him. And they don't. And that's why I feel like a lot of information is probably withheld. Because they're waiting for the right person to say the right thing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a month from today, we'll all see it on the news where somebody came in for questioning, and it happens. And they say just a little too much. Mm-hmm. And then the case is literally open sesame. Mm-hmm. So I'm praying for that moment, for his mother, for his family, for all of that. So,
you know what it's giving? What? It's giving Sweetie Pies. Remember when
that's
what it's giving me.
Ooh, maybe I'll do that.
Ooh, girl. You should do that.
Let's
not talk about it too much. But if you know, you know, right?
I watch that.
But yeah, it's giving Sweetie Pies. That's what it's giving to me. Like, like a thing where the family's like, oh my God, and blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that the family is what's happening. I'm telling you right now, it's somebody close to him. It's somebody close to him. I know it is. I know it is. So hopefully they find that person and get them the fuck together. But that's all. That's all we have to say for today. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This is our first ever active case episode. So send us DMs. Send us messages to y'all want to talk about it. As you can see, we love to talk about it. We've been talking about it for about an hour now. And it's still ongoing. So right. So yeah, we are cognacconspiracies@gmail.com. We're cognacconspiracies on Instagram. Reach out to us. Let's talk about it. Let us know what you think. And we will see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.